Mickey Hart here, you're listening to the GAA Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
All right, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour brought to you by AIB. I'm here as usual with Mikey and Conan, and we've a brilliant show lined up for you. We've got Tony Kelly, former Hurler of the Year in 2013, going to join us on the line. He's just coming off an absolutely brilliant win with his club. Ballyea came back from 7 points down against Thurles Sarsfields at the weekend. And we're going to have a look ahead to the weekend's club action. The big one really is Castlebar Mitchells against Corrifane and a whole load of other stuff. But first of all, lads, I want to talk about the new Laois hurling manager, Eamon Kelly. 3 months ago, August 16th, he resigned from the Offaly job. And he said, having reviewed the season just gone and considered the increasing personal and business demands on my time at present, I've informed the Offaly County Board that I will not be in a position to continue as manager of the senior hurling team for 2017.
Business must be slow.
So then he joins Laois for 2017.
I think the important part of that sentence is having reviewed the season just gone. And then he added in the next bit just because it would be bad to just put it all down to the fact that Offaly didn't have a particularly good season.
They didn't have a good season. They were beaten by Westmeath, obviously, but he somewhat turned it around. He still got them out of the group, and then they lost to Galway, which is understandable enough. And I think they're beaten then
Wexford.
By Wexford. That was it. So there's no huge shame in it. And by all accounts, the players really liked him. He was really well regarded. And like in that statement when he resigned, he also thanked the players. So like, I mean, if he had issues with some of the players, their commitment, he wouldn't have gone out of his way to thank them. He said, most of all, I want to thank the Offaly players. It was a privilege and a pleasure to serve them as team manager, such a fine group of hurlers and people. They offered me every cooperation, commitment and trust all the times, and I wish them every success for the future. Not only did he thank the players, he thanked the board, because that was the next thing I was thinking. County board mustn't have been pulling in the same direction. There must be some problem. But he thanked the board then. I knew when I first met the Offaly County Board officers in 2015 that they really wanted to see improvement in the county's hurling fortunes, and I thanked them for their support and wished them well. So it's not the players, it's not the county board. The business and personal demands seem to have gone, and now he's going to Laois, who, like, let's be honest, Laois and Offaly, Laois might be a small bit below Offaly standard, but there's not much in it in the last few years. So maybe his personal situation has changed. I texted him this morning to see would he come on the show, but I haven't heard back. Before the show will go on air. But Doughty Regan is livid, lads.
Well, what is the... Sorry, go on, what's Doughty saying?
Doughty's saying, he tweeted twice the other night, can't wait to see the shite he spews that are taking on Laois. Really, reality is he jumped ship, leaving Offaly were going nowhere. Has no credibility to him now. Now, you know, reality he jumped ship, leaving Offaly were going nowhere. But like, that doesn't run true if he's joining Laois. If he, you know, if he jumped on the Wexford who have potential, yeah, or jumped on Dublin, for example, you could say that. But like, he's going to Laois, whose aspirations are not even at the level of Offaly's, which makes it even more strange.
It's a little bit strange. First of all, I wonder, is there, like, you know, the way the GPA have a template for player statements, maybe there's one for managers. Maybe you just filled,
yeah,
in the blanks. Maybe this,
yeah,
is, you do thank the players or you do thank the board. Is there not, like, you talk to, like, you listen to people like Doughty Regan talk about Offaly hurling, and it sounds very depressing. It sounds like, you know, their root and branch approach. They're trying to fix everything, and nothing's getting fixed very quickly. Is there a little bit more optimism around Laois hurling? Has Cheddar injected some level of hope?
2 years ago, maybe you would say yes, but I think they've kind of started going. You know, they got to a level where they competed with Galway. And then the next year, it was a bit of a disaster. Like, they're hammered by Clare this year. I think Cheddar brought them as far as he could. Brilliant and all as a job he did. You know, but Eamon Kelly, from what I heard, and I did interviews with people about Eamon before, and like, he's very, very highly regarded. His training is really, really good. And maybe he won't be able to instill the same Laois passion that the Cheddar was able to do with him. But like, I mean, he's from Tipperary. He's never going to be able to do that. But from a coaching perspective, look, Offaly's losses, Laois's gain.
I do believe there was some. He did complain early on. I think after I think it could have been after the Westmead defeat. I think he got a little bit of abuse online, or a lot of abuse online, and that came up as well. And maybe that soured his time in Offaly. But then again, if you want to be involved in inter-county GAA or any GAA these days, and you don't like online abuse,
yeah, there's no online abuse in Laois. I've never once been. There's no trolls. There's no trolls in Laois.
Hang on a second.
It's just beautiful complimentary stuff that people write about.
There are no trolls because you are the troll.
I am the number one troll.
Sometimes though, I remember we had a manager who walked out in us 5 days before the season started, and it was like the third time he had resigned, you know. It was like he was asking to leave, and he was always looking to fall out with someone or look for an excuse to go, and we always reasoned afterwards that it was he just thought he couldn't take us anywhere, like, and maybe he was right, but sometimes, like, I don't know, I'll bow to your superior hurling knowledge here, but maybe he just sees a bit more in Laois than he does in Offaly. He's been in Offaly and thinks, this is going nowhere, I might as well just try.
Because the Offaly players have pretty bad reputations. You know, they've been reputations of not putting in the effort that's required for senior hurling, and they've let their standards slip that little bit. But the word I've heard is that he changed that, and there was a big effort being put in. So, you know, which makes it all the stranger. Look, we're not going to be able to guess what's going on, but, you know, if we can get Eamon Kelly to explain this turnaround in 3 months, maybe just the recession has lifted and his business is going really, really well now, and he's hired an assistant and he just has that level of extra time on his hands.
I'd rather hear from Dahi Regan, to be honest. Forget about Eamon Kelly, get Dahi on.
I love this time of year when, you know, Offaly and Laois hurling appointments, you know, there's a little bit of scandal.
Yeah, and we've started the GAA Hour with Laois news for the first time ever, and more of this, please.
And it's hurling.
And it's hurling, Laois hurling. Incredible. That's just the way it's landed. Now, one other thing I wanted to talk about. Now, Mikey, you told me this is not new news. This is just something caught my eye today. Is Jack Guiney has been recalled to the Wexford senior squad. So this isn't new news, so it's not a big deal, outside of the fact that you could nearly open up odds as to how long Jack is going to last under Davy, you know. But maybe Davy will set him on the straight and narrow, because Jack, you know, he's flighty. He's flighty at the best of times.
But I don't think he's wild in the way that some people might expect. I just think there was a bit of a personality clash there with Liam Dunn.
Yeah.
But that's not to say there won't be a personality clash with Davy Fitzgerald.
Liam Dunn doesn't like free spirits. Like, he didn't like Gizzy Ling. He got rid of him. Gizzy's the ultimate free spirit. Jack Guiney, he'll kind of, you know, I think managers have to look at different players. Like,
you love
Jack
a free
Guiney.
Spirit.
I do. And I think a good manager can get a free spirit on side rather than using him as the example. Do not be like this person. A good manager can be strong enough to do that. And I think Davy, loads of players love Davy. Like, Davy can charm Jack to maybe actually go, right, I won't rock the boat this year, or I won't go for those few pints on Sunday because I'm in this with the team. You know, Davy can harness that kind of a culture within a team that could maybe help Jack Guiney.
Colm O'Rourke was on the podcast last week or two,
last week
and he spoke really well, especially about his son and a couple of the older lads, and it was like he was delighted that the players and the team allowed him to treat these guys differently. And I always remember some teacher used to always tell me to, and I suppose he would know working with kids and that, but it's that saying to treat everyone equally, treat them differently, because people are different.
Exactly. There's 30 different personalities on a panel. But the other thing, the reason I mentioned Jack Guiney is because obviously Davy's picked his backroom team. Again, Mikey, this is not new news. This is last week's news. But I noticed PJ Ryan, ex-Kilkenny goalkeeper, is in as his goalkeeping coach. And I always kind of laugh when I hear about these goalkeeping coaches. Like, I mean, a coach is a qualified coach, but in GAA terms, you just pick an ex-player and they coach you. Now, they've no experience at coaching. They just happen to play in that same position. Yeah. So the best one of all is Davy Byrne, a player who couldn't get on the team ahead of Stephen Cluxton, is now coaching Stephen Cluxton.
Stephen Cluxton was 20.
Yeah, I'd love to know how those coaching sessions go. Stephen, do this. I don't think I will, actually. No, I'm going to practice these kickouts that no one else can do as well as me, including you.
It always equated to the kicking coach in rugby, you know, this guy who, the guy who takes the, like, say, Johnny Sexton or Ronan Agarra after training for 20 minutes. A guy who never played professional rugby to the standard, but supposedly can tell Johnny Sexton or Ronan Agarra or Johnny Wilkinson something about what they are naturally gifted at and have been doing since they were 8 or 9 years old, and they're the best at in the world. Dave Allred, supposedly, is different. He's the guy who's kind of like a consultant to Wilkinson, Carter.
The interesting thing about that is that they might have done some sort of study in coaching, and maybe technically know, they can't actually do it themselves, but technically they know what the right method is. So they could maybe help a player, even though they're not able to do it, say, look, from my research and my learning, maybe if you just, you know, planted your foot a little bit, they've learned about it. I've given them a better pass than just a fella that you just went, right, you took free. And a lot of free takers just are good at them. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no real coaches for free takers or for goalkeepers in the country. So you just pick an ex player who might not have any idea of how he was good. He just, you know, happened to be very talented at the game.
You bring in an example, maybe. We were chatting about the example of Brendan Cummins going to Leash or Kerry, where you're not just getting a goalkeeping coach, you're getting an All-Ireland winner.
Exactly.
You're getting a guy who can bring in a certain, like, kind of add to your environment. But I think the idea of, PJ Ryan or Damien Fitzhenry with Liam Dunn last year, you know, he's going to, you know, tell a goalkeeper, you know, until I learned better, I played in goal in hurling, and there's a skill to it, but I don't know how much of it could be coached. I think you're better not thinking about being a hurling goalkeeper, to be perfectly honest.
Maybe it is. They are a new fad, though. Every team now has a goalkeeping coach. That goes without saying. Unless it's just that you're a sounding board, not necessarily a coach in the traditional sense where you're telling them exactly what to do. It's more just someone to bounce stuff off that's played that position. That's, you know, more like a, I don't know, like a...
A holistic lifestyle,
like a Bernard Dunn, only doing
gloves on.
It is a lonely existence, and you sort of appreciate it a lot more when we were in France covering Ireland at Euro 2016, and you see how separate the goalkeepers are from the rest of the squad, and it looks so lonely. Like, if none of them were good crack, or they couldn't understand each other, it would be weird. But like you were talking there about David Fitzgerald, I spoke with Lee Chin on Thursday, and I had their first meeting and that, and obviously, he was speaking so well about Wexford Youths, and he didn't care about what he was saying. He was explaining the contract. It was a super interview. But then when I asked him about David Fitzgerald, it was like that mindset of cutback. And it's like, you know, it sounded like it was great. And he said he's really passionate. He's never sort of met someone as passionate for hurling. But then he stopped talking. It's like we're coming into that season again already now where we just have to be a bit more careful about what we're saying.
Yeah, I saw Davey actually. He was on the Late Late Show because the... Ireland's Fittest Family or whatever. Look, sorry for watching Late Late Show and sorry for keeping it on when Ireland's Fittest Family was being interviewed. But Davey was being asked, it's like a 3-hour commute. He's going to do it, I think, 2 times a week. So maybe he'll come down for the field sessions. Maybe he said 3. He'll come down for the field sessions Tuesday, Thursday. I'm sure he'll have a strength and conditioning lad that'll have the fellas in the gym that he won't be coming down for. Manager doesn't need to be at them anyways. And then maybe something at the week, a league match at the weekend, which might not always be in Wexford, it'll be travelling anyway. But still, that's a 3-hour there and a 3-hour, that's a 6-hour bloody round trip. Like, Davey's a madman.
It's decent roads, thank God, I suppose you could say, from Clare. You go, I guess.
It's not actually, it's only good roads half the way. The rest of it,
if you go through Dublin.
If you go from Clare to Dublin down.
Probably.
Oh, I googled this. Because when Davey took the job, I went, how is he going to get
this
there?
This is top-notch podcasting right here, folks.
Tweet in what road would you take from Clare to?
I would go via Dublin.
No, Limerick, I think it was. So there's a good road as far as Limerick, and then from Limerick on, it's horrible. When you get into Wexford, that's to Wexford Park. You'd know. How do you not know the way from...
I'm telling you what way I'd go. I'm not saying what way Davey will go.
We'll move on from this.
I was just going to ask, what's your favourite road in Ireland?
A road watch. I commute every day. This is the last thing I want to do is talk about roads. The Dublin senior hurling panel has a couple of notable absentees, and there's loads of news of this going to come out in the next couple of weeks as panels are announced. I saw the Tyrone panel announced that it was more about the few lads that they added on to it than anybody leaving it necessarily. Dublin hurling manager Ger Cunningham has dropped Johnny McCaffrey, who was their 2013 captain when they won the Leinster, and all-star Peter Kelly, who was really an incredible full-back for a few years but got injured a few times, and maybe he's not the player that he was, but just it's kind of a statement from Cunningham. And he's brought in Jonathan Tracy, Jake Malone, Owen Conroy from the under-21s, and brought in 3 fellas straight out of minors as well, Donald Burke, Keane O'Sullivan, great name there, probably plays centre-back, maybe a bit of a sweeper.
Probably good-looking as well.
Very good-looking.
Probably be poached by Jim Gavin before the start of the season.
And a Paddy Smith, and it's interesting, it's always a manager when they're under pressure, they usually turn to youth, because it's the greatest, you know, I'm giving lads a chance, do not criticise me, we're in transition. It's a lovely thing to fall back on, because, you know, it just is. So Cunningham said it's largely a young squad, but along with our aims of continuing to try and make Dublin hurling successful in the short term, one of our key aims is building a solid foundation for the future. So basically, Ger Cunningham can't ever lose in this job now, because when he finishes after the 3 years, he'll say he's left good foundations, he's blooded young fellas. It's just, look, tactically it's brilliant from Cunningham, really, isn't it?
But isn't it the hard thing to do? Because he's in the third year now of a 3-year contract that I don't think anyone believes is going to be renewed. Would it not have been easier just to keep the older players in, those popular guys.
Yeah, he hasn't been doing too well with them, you know. No. I think they're reading between the lines with me is that some of the older lads might not believe in the methods, and they might, it's better off get rid of these fellas, and it's easier to tell young fellas what to do than it is tell experienced players, you know, like our very own Conal Keeney is gone, he retired. You've Danny Sutcliffe not in there. You know, a lot of the old Carton dropped off, the goalkeeper Nolan, he was dropped off. Mm-hmm. A lot of these older kind of bigger personalities that might actually challenge management, that often happens in GAA dressing rooms, that these lads look, instead of working against them, I'm just getting rid of them. Yeah. And I'm going to actually be able to, you know, influence some of the younger lads an awful lot easier.
It's a tough, he's taken away a fair amount of talent there, and as you were writing about it on the site, Conan, like, you know, there's some seriously talented hurlers in Dublin who aren't getting anywhere near the county panel because they've stumped for football at Cormac Castle.
I was just going to say, I mean, it sounds like it should be camping outside the door of Conn O'Callaghan as well. Like, you know, he scored 4-3 for Coolah at the weekend on Sunday in the Leinster Hurling Championship, and like, by all accounts, he's an unbelievable hurler. He played with him in the Leinster Minor Final a couple of years ago, and he also played in he captained the footballers in the Leinster Minor Final. Of course, they won. He stuck with football. He was on the panel. He got to lift Sam and that, but I don't know how much of an input is he going to have in the football over the next couple of years. Yeah. Like, it sounds like they should be going mad after him now to get him into the hurling panel.
Try and get them in. Kieran Kilkenny's a brilliant dual player as well. There's loads of them in Dublin because they're concentrated on both codes, and in Dublin you play as dual until minor and then you have to choose. You know, I think that's a little bit tough, but you know, that's the way they're doing it. Alright, up next we'll talk to Tony Kelly.
I've had fellas follow me, and not just Cork lads, you know what I mean? It happens, yeah. and it does happen, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a lonely spot, and the best thing you can do is keep moving, and I thought Connolly looked to be trying to do that the last time.
The camera show, it doesn't look great, there was, maybe they could say it was theatrical or whatever, but like, the reality is that there was contact, and I wasn't trying to win a penalty, I was trying to go out and win the ball.
You know, actually, it's funny, your man Conan, what's his name on your programme, like, I was wondering, was he at the same match as me? He was kind of making out terrible and unlucky to lose, like. Let's go. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
Fort Minor. AIB, backing club and county.
All right, delighted to say Player of the Year from 2013, Tony Kelly, is on the line. Tony, congrats on Sunday. What a comeback. You're making a bit of a habit of comebacks.
Yeah, I suppose we didn't plan to make a comeback the weekend, but look, I suppose that's just the way it turned out. I think we looked, I suppose, for the last maybe 10 minutes to go, I think we'd win, I'd have said no, but I suppose, look, we've been kind of coming back all year and, let's say, count championship games, and was no different Sunday, only the gap was a lot bigger, and especially, I suppose, the opponents who were playing in Thurles, I suppose, it made it us, I suppose, that extra special for us as a club to come back and win a high profile game like that.
Has this year come as a big surprise to you within the club, Tony? I know you won under 21 in 2012, but has this run come a little bit faster than expected?
Yeah, I think I suppose there would have been maybe 4 or 5 of us underage. I would have probably played with Clare maybe from minor 21 and kind of gone to senior, and I suppose within the county we'd be kind of seen maybe as a threat that we could catch a big team if we met them maybe in an early round or a quarter final or something like that. But I suppose this year we didn't really have an expectation at the start of the year. We just kind of take game by game, and I suppose try and get over a quarter final. We've been there the last 2 or 3 years, and we were beaten last year after extra time in a quarter final, so we just kind of wanted to get over that. And once we kind of got over the quarter final, we just kind of took the semi final on merit, and once we won that, it was kind of, you know, just game by game. We got to the final then of it with Tinlara, and we were under, I suppose, no illusion sitting into that game with the team they have, that we need a bit of luck and each perform well to win it, and thankfully we did. But it's definitely a shock to be in a Munster final, and it was even a shock to win the county championship, to be honest, because at the start of the year was kind of, our main target was trying to get over a quarter final and progress from last year, you know.
Yeah, so you're in a county final against Clonlara and you're 5 points down after 40 minutes. They're heavy favourites. You know, what's going through your head at that stage? Look, we've given it our best shot.
Yeah, look, yeah, definitely. I think Martin O'Leary came on and got a great goal for us, you know, and I suppose we haven't been able to score goals up to that point, and from that point on, we seem to be scoring goals in the replay, and especially last week against Thursday before. But yeah, like, especially against Clare the first day, you know, we were without that goal, you know, we wouldn't have come back into the game. Definitely not. I don't think we created any chance at all in the game, only that one, and thankfully Marty stuck it, and I think we went a pint up with 2 minutes to go on injury time, and couldn't hold on, so we could have robbed them the first day. But I think the second day, I think we were the overall better team, you know. So I suppose if you'd won it the first day doing that, I suppose the perception out there was that you probably robbed the victory or stole the victory. But I suppose the replay, I think we proved that we probably were the better team the second day, and I suppose thankfully we saved our best form for the final, you know.
Yeah, and favourites aren't supposed to win replays, are they? Are the underdogs not supposed to win the replay?
No, definitely not. But yeah, look, to be fair now, I think that was one of our best performances of the year, the county final, especially like Lisa there and Gary Brennan as well were very dangerous in the replay. You know, we needed to get more out of our forwards, and those two lads were the two that really stood up for us in the replay, I suppose, getting scores. And especially playing the likes of Lanier, you know, you need your forwards to be scoring, especially if your backs can keep out of the other end.
Talk to us about the Thurles game, because it's a similar pattern as the county final, the first one. You're 7 points down in this game, and I remember I was watching the game and I was thinking, this is done and dusted now, you know, Thurles are a really good team, and I didn't see any way back from you. And even you personally, you weren't shooting the lights out, but then from the 51st minute, it's almost like you woke up and you scored 6 from play in the next 20 minutes. What changed in that game?
Yeah, I think we kind of started off. I even thought we started off slow in the first maybe 10 or 15 minutes. We got 2 goals, and I suppose they were fortuitous enough. You know, the ball kind of broke in around the square. One was a penalty, and one was kind of pulled on. And at half time, I think we were 4 or 5 points down, and we weren't really happy with where we were playing. And we came out in the second half, and I suppose we just wanted to keep going. And I suppose the 10 minutes to go, if you ask anyone, I suppose playing, did we think we'd win it? Probably not, but we just wanted to cut the deficit and just keep going to the end. And I think momentum is a massive thing. I think once we kind of cut it to 4, I think even the crowd inside Kizzy Park kind of got behind us, and we just needed kind of a magic moment maybe to produce a goal or something. And thankfully Gary Brennan got an absolute outstanding goal, you know. And I think once that goal went in, I think we had the momentum, especially in the extra time, you know. It was deflating for Thurles, I suppose, to have lost that lead, you know, and heading into extra time. I think we really stepped it up maybe in the first 10 minutes of extra time as well. I know they came back into in the second half of it, but I think from Gary Brennan's goal, I think it really gave us momentum to kick on extra time and to go on and win it from there on.
Yeah, how much pressure do you feel playing with your club? Because, you know, when you play well, they play well. I think that's pretty obvious, and that's normal with county players. But especially it was noticeable against Thurles. When you kicked into gear, you had the ability to lift the whole team. Does that, you know, put a bit of extra pressure on your shoulders?
No, not really. I think it's kind of inside our team at the moment. You'd have Paul Fleming, who'd be a county hurler, Jack Brown, Grota Connell, they'd all be county hurlers as well. And then you're looking at like the Gary Brennan, Pierce Lillis, Damien Burke, they're all county footballers, you know. So there is an awful lot of experience in the group as well. And I suppose one thing in Ballet, it's kind of, you know, we don't really have a great master plan, you know. It's kind of left to I suppose those in the field, and we just kind of have to get it together ourselves, you know. So when things aren't going well, it's kind of, you know, we've leaders in every line of the field that can pick it up. It's not just left down to me or left down to Paul Flanagan or Gary Brennan, you know. It's kind of it's a whole collective effort, and I think that's one thing with the club, you know. You're trusting lads that you've grown up all your life with, you know exactly how they play, and they know exactly how you play, and they know, we know how to compliment one another. So I think I suppose there is maybe a bit of pressure on county lads and club, but in Ballet it's just kind of, it's a whole collective, and I think the experience of the county footballers and county hurlers together kind of helps out in that situation.
Yeah, and do you enjoy a bit of freedom in midfield? I know you've played in midfield for Clare at times before, but you tend not to be double marked when you're in midfield, which suits you.
Yeah, there's a lot more room outside our right to keep going. Yeah, I suppose it's just, it's something different, I suppose, with the club this year. I suppose with the county, I'm kind of more seen as a forward, but with the club, it's kind of, it's different as well, you know. It's different, obviously, same with the club, but yeah, midfield, I suppose, would be my preference position. There's more room to go and kind of do what you like out there, and yeah, definitely, I suppose, it's a new lease of life out there with the club at the moment, and I suppose I'm enjoying it now at the moment, yeah.
Do you think the fact that you were injured earlier in the year is giving you a nice bit of energy now? You know, you're coming off a slog, you know, and no disrespect to Davey, the type of training he'll do, you know, at this time of the year you might feel a little bit lethargic, but you seem to be really fresh.
Yeah, I missed something like 12 weeks at the start of the year from January, I suppose, onwards, and I suppose you're kind of missing out on maybe heavy training from January, February, you know, and I suppose it's kind of benefited me, I suppose, this time of the year. Like, usually this time of the year you want to throw the hurley in the corner, and I suppose put the feet up for 4 or 5 weeks before you go back into, I suppose, the heavy training again. But this year now it's completely different. I'm absolutely kind of buzzing around for road, looking forward going down training every night, and I suppose that comes with winning as well, you know. Once you're winning, you kind of have that appetite to go down to the field training, and you don't mind going down the cold or the rain these nights, especially when you're winning. And I think winning and the freshness kind of combine together to I suppose have that appetite and that hunger to I suppose play well and enjoy what you're doing as well.
Yeah, how would you analyse Clare's year this year, Tony? You know, because from looking in from the outside, obviously you had a great league and won it, and then you just weren't able to bring that on into the championship at all. Why do you think that was?
Yeah, I suppose it was a frustrating year in many respects. I suppose we started off, I think, well enough in Division 1B. You know, we were winning all our games down there, and I suppose once you get to a quarter final, I suppose the goal was to, I suppose, win the quarter final and get more games to kind of prepare yourself for championship. But I thought maybe we probably put too much into the league, I suppose, trying to, I suppose, get wins under our belt from having a poor year the year before, you know. And yeah. I suppose signed on the league, we kept going to win our semi-final and final, and we ended up winning the league, but we just kind of seemed to stall, I suppose, as a team. We didn't really kind of up our performance or bring our performance in the league to the first round of championship. And that's been kind of a stumbling block for the last 2 or 3 years is the first round of Munster Championship. And I suppose, look, you have to win your first round to give yourself a chance to be hurling for the summer. And I know we won All Ireland going through the back door, but if you go through the back door and you've won bad performance, you know, you're out in your ear. And I can't really answer the question as why we couldn't bring our form on from the league, but it's definitely something we're going to have to address, because you're not really giving yourself a fair crack at the whip if you're going out in the first round every year in Munster, because you're not leaving any room for, I suppose, heading towards the back door either, you know.
Yeah, I was reading some stuff about you getting up at 5 a.m. on Christmas Eve and all this kind of thing, and this was in the 2013 season. Do you think, in hindsight, looking back, that was all counterproductive, whereas you might have got a quick hit out of that kind of thing, that in the long term, that's not, you know, what you should really be doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose teams and managing teams have different ways of getting lads fit, and I suppose in 2013, I suppose it was a great thing, you know, because I suppose that was the method you were using and you were winning, you know, and I suppose if you won with that method, why kind of change it? But I think it all depends on the team you have, you know. I suppose other teams probably wouldn't buy into it. I see Waterford as well were similar. I think it was the last of these said they were training Christmas Day, you know. I suppose the whole thing of training Christmas Eve and Christmas Day can be blown out of proportion as well, because it is Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, you know. If you were doing that on another normal day, other lads probably wouldn't see it as a problem, you know. So I think as players, I suppose we had much of a problem with getting up and training Christmas Eve or anything like that. But I don't actually think it's kind of maybe affects you at that time of the year. I suppose looking back over the last 2 years, we probably weren't maybe as fresh coming into the Munster Championship. Whether that's kind of a collective thing as a team that we were unable to lift our performance. But I don't think training over the Christmas period has that much of an impact come May or June. I think you should be well able to time your approach come, let's say, after the league, you know. And that's something the last maybe 2 years, 2 or 3 years, we haven't been able to do.
Right, and is that something, because you were also young in 2013, is that something as the years go on, you're starting to realise, look, I know my own body, and I know, you know, doing this thing around Christmas too early, you know, it's not going to benefit me later in the summer, you know. Yeah, is this kind of something you learn as you go on through your career through experience?
Yeah, exactly. I think if you're kind of, I think as you go on, you know your body, how it's going to maybe feel after that or feel the early stages of the year or later in the year, you know. As I suppose the older you get, I suppose maybe the less of that training you probably do, because you know you know your body, and you're going to try and mind it and kind of, I suppose, time to peak it, you know. But I suppose the age we're at, sure, we're still only 20, a lot of us are only still 21, 22, you know, so we're not that old yet. But yeah, I think definitely, I suppose 2013, kind of myself, I kind of knew in, you know, you go train, you'd be enthusiastic, and you do every bit of it. And I suppose as you're going on, then I suppose you know yourself when to take a break and when to push the body hard, you know. So I think that comes with experience of, I suppose, going through that training maybe for a year or two and just seeing exactly how much you can get out of your body. And I think that definitely plays a part as kind of you get older and I suppose are on an intercounty panel that bit longer.
Yeah, cause you see, I think we're all trying to figure out why after 2013, when you took the country by storm, and I understand that you were all really, really young, why in the last 3 years you haven't been able to do, you know, repeat that in the championship? Like, have you talked about it as a group, and what conclusions have you come to?
Yeah, I suppose I think it kind of, from a group point of view, I think it's kind of come down to ourselves that I suppose we're the lads kind of taking the field, you know, whether it's what we're doing in training. I suppose we're not getting enough out of each other or what it is. But I think it has to kind of come from within the panel themselves. The group of players have been there the last 2 or 3 years, and I suppose the newer lads even coming in to freshen it up, you know. I think maybe last year, we were making great strides in performing, I suppose, well in the league and winning that. But as I said, the big focus is to win the championship games, you know. And I think the main thing, kind of from speaking to all the lads, is trying to get the most out of yourself. And I suppose that's getting the right things, the small things right in preparation and training and stuff like that. But I suppose the management team can only give you the plan they want carried out and the methods in training and stuff like that. But I think it comes down to the individuals and the 15 that take the field, and I suppose the 4 or 5 subs that come on. And I think that's the main thing with us, is just trying to, I suppose, bring what we do in training onto the field and try and express ourselves like we know we can underage, under 21, and especially in 2013, try and recapture that form and try and hit those heights again, because that's ultimately what we're playing for. And I suppose, as I said, it just has to come from within us now, within the, I suppose, the lads that have been there the last 2 or 3 years and leaders of the group.
Yeah, do you think it's gone a little bit too systematic with G rather than, you know, go out and express yourselves? Because you seem to be a kind of an off-the-cuff type of team.
Yeah, I suppose I think you have to have plans and strategies in place as well to play. I think you just can't take the field, I suppose, with 15 lads and a scout and hurl, you know. You
no,
have to
I plan
for the opposition, you have to play to your strengths as well. And I think it's all about getting a balance to that as well, you know. I think a lot was made of when Davey was there that we were kind of tied down playing to systems and stuff. But I suppose even from training and stuff, like, you know, within the camp, we thought that he did let us express ourselves. It was kind of up to us to, I suppose, carry out what he wanted to do and find a balance in performing, I suppose, off the cuff ourselves. And I don't think we probably justifies the management's game plan either with the last maybe 2 or 3 years as well on the field as players. I think we kind of maybe didn't get that balance ourselves. And but as regards to, we are an off-the-cuff team, I think we are, but at the end of the day, we have to have a plan to who we're playing, you know. And I suppose that varies with opposition as well. So you have to try and get a balance right between off-the-cuff hurling and the plan you have in place as well.
Yeah. How difficult was the decision when you had the players meeting, you know, when you decided to move on with a new management team? Now, I know Davey had kind of given you a bit of an out by saying, you know, ye do it, lads, I've had me 5 years. You know, was there much debate going on in that room, or how difficult was the decision to come to?
Not really, because players had probably been in contact with Davey as well, and myself and Dean have been in contact with Davey, so it was kind of all, I suppose, he'd rang the majority of the panel, and he'd rang us, and just to get views on, I suppose, things from the year before, and I suppose heading into the new year, and just their overall opinions. And then, I suppose, from talking to them, he just wanted myself and Keane to, I suppose, go back and maybe have the same conversation, and his lads had other views that maybe didn't want to tell him, but they'd tell us.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. So it was kind of all done above board, you know, and it was kind of all kind of talked out. There was no kind of badness to it or stigma to it either, you know. I thought it was well carried out, and lads just came, we sat down and just kind of talked out what we could do, what we could have done better and stuff like that, you know.
Right, so do you think Davey actually wanted to go, or do you think he wanted to stay, and, you know, after that meeting he got the impression, you know, that it wasn't unanimous in, you know, in wanting him to stay?
Yeah, I think maybe he probably might have been happy to stay or leave himself, you know. I think he made his decision kind of for the benefit of Clare Hurling, which he came out and said after himself. And I suppose that's the thing that gets confused with Dave, you know. He was there for the benefit of Clare Hurling, whether you liked him or disliked him, I suppose, from an external point of view looking in, you know. He was there to get the best out of us, and I suppose once we came back to him after talking to the lads, I suppose he kind of sat down and went through everything himself, and I suppose he decided that for the betterment of Clare Hurling, that he'd walk away now, you know. He owes nothing to Clare after winning All-Ireland and a league title as well, you know. So I think he probably just made the decision to for the betterment of Clare Hurling. And as far as players, no one has anything bad to say about him. We have an awful lot to be grateful for him. You know, I suppose he's the main part of why so many of us probably won All-Ireland and won All-Stars as well, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. Look, his record with Clare, like, I mean, that All-Ireland was an incredible achievement by all of you, you know, not just Davey. There's no doubt about it. Do you think he was hurt by the decision?
No, I don't think he was. I think Davey prefers if you go away and talk to him and you express exactly how you feel, you know. I think he'd be more hurt if lads were talking to him and then behind his back were saying other different things, you know. I think that's where he'd become hurt. But I don't think he was hurt at all with the situation, you know. He came to us, he wanted us to talk it out with the players and relay back then the opinions, and so I don't think he was hurt in any way at all by the players, and I don't think the players were hurt by him. I think it was just a kind of a mutual decision, and I think he just kind of stepped away for the betterment of Clare Hurling, as I said.
What about the Munster final, Tony? You know, you've got a great chance now of not only having won the county title, you have the momentum behind you, and you know you've got Glen Rovers now, and like by no means are they unbeatable. You know, you've beaten Turles Sarsfield, so you'll feel that you're a match for anyone.
Yeah, look, definitely. I suppose you get out of your own county, especially the first time after winning the county title, it's kind of a bonus territory, so you kind of take it as it comes. But definitely after winning the semi-final, now you're in the final, you want to go on and win it. And with the Rovers, will be no different. But I suppose from our own point of view, we're looking into it now, and there will be positivity in the camp after beating Turles, you know. But I suppose after winning that, I suppose spirits will be higher on the club. But it's all about knuckling down now, and I suppose approaching Glen Rovers with the same respect that we played to Turles, you know, and they'll be thinking the same, you know, that there's a great opportunity in Munster because Turles are gone as well, and so they won't fear us either playing. They'll view it as an equally, I suppose, opportunity to win it as well, and I think it's going to be a great Munster final, because I think if you're looking at them, I think they're similar to us, you know. They've been trailing in games and they have an inner-side attitude and coming back and winning those games as well, so I think you're going to see teams with plenty of hurling and plenty of skill as well, but you know, see teams that will probably give it all in the field and die for the result as well.
Yeah, just finally, going into that Turles Sarsfield game, because you'd never played outside Clare before, was there a part of you thinking, Jesus, are these lads on a different level to us, you know, like playing outside the county? At least now that you know that that's not the case, you can go into the Munster final with maybe a bit more confidence. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you're heading into playing a team like Turles with the stars they have, I suppose, you're not really worried maybe about yourself or the other county lads, because you know that they've been hurling at the standard that some of the Turles lads have been facing. But I suppose definitely the club players might feel, I suppose, nervous going in playing Turles the last day, because I suppose if you're looking at, we have lads in our club that I suppose would be 21, 22 that have been on Lar Corbett or Pat Burke and players like this, you know, and yeah, they're wondering would we be able to compete. But I suppose after the last day coming back and winning in that fashion, I think that'll give them massive confidence as well to know that they can compete with the likes of them hurlers as well. And I suppose that only bodes well heading into a Munster final, you know. And I suppose it gives the club players more than anyone else that confidence that they're able to compete at such a high standard.
Yeah, hopefully it will. But listen, best of luck in the Munster final and best of luck with Clare next year. Thanks very much for taking the call, Tony.
Cheers, no matter what.
Next up, we'll have a look ahead to a great weekend's club action.
Is the little dink fist pass from a crowded area into that D we're talking about, where Bernard, I've talked to Bernard about, Bernard's very patient. But this little dink ball, you know, the one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken out, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest, and there's consternation then in around the D and in around that area. Watch for this in the semis and the final. Do you know the one I'm talking about? That little fisted ball that's just bounced in a crowded area, but it gets to the
yeah,
body.
You have said it three times.
It's in around it. But you're looking at me. You're looking
out
at me
of a crowded area, isn't
you're
it?
You're looking at me with such a confused head in you. It's like I was talking about you trying to get a point in coppers or something there in a crowded area. Yeah, watch for it.
Brilliant weekend of club action, lads. This is nearly my favourite slot on the show, and it's really heating up now. It's at semi-final stage in the Connacht Club Championship. It's at semi-final stage in the Munster Club. It's at semi-final in the Ulster Club. And it's at quarter-final in the Leinster Club. I love this time of the year. I love these competitions. They're really, really exciting. It's just, it's fantastic seeing all these clubs from different parts of the country taking each other on. The one that sticks out, though, above every other game this weekend has to be the Connacht semi-final between Castlebar Mitchells and Corrib Finn. Castlebar Mitchell's beaten in two of the last three All-Irelands. Curragh Finn won one 2 years ago, beat Vincent's in the semi-finals. So Curragh Finn are a huge, huge player. Kieran Fitzgerald has 11 county titles. He's actually playing wing back for them in the county final. I was just having a look at it. They have Michael Lundy back from London, or no, from New York actually, who's committed to Galway next year. So they're looking really strong. Castlebar Mitchell's are down Alan Richie Feeney, and they don't have Tom Kniff either, but Patrick Durkin is back and he missed the last game. So Castlebar not at full strength. Curragh Finn, you know, moving well. You'd probably be fancying Curragh Finn here.
You were talking about, when we were chatting about the Dublin semi-finals a few weeks ago, you were talking about how Ballymun and Vincent's are two teams who can win in All-Ireland. That's a Dublin semi-final, fair enough. This is a Connacht semi-final, you're looking at two other teams who are live contenders for it. Like, to come through the Mayo Championship, now, as we know, you look at how those teams perform, you know, you have to be a serious operation.
Oh, they are a serious operation.
But then Curragh Finn Curragh Finn are just a beautiful team to watch, but clearly they're a winning machine as well because they're making a mockery of Galway.
Yeah, they are. But the interesting thing about Curragh Finn is they don't have the manager that won them the All-Ireland, that's now Mayo manager. So are Curragh Finn playing the same style? I haven't seen enough of them this year. I haven't seen any of them this year. The style of football they played to win the All-Ireland club was unbelievable to watch. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful style of football. A lot of kick passing, some brilliant scores, very ambitious. No, like, you know, packed defences, none of that. Just a really nice brand of traditional football. Are they still doing that? We don't know yet.
I remember going to the final in Croke Park. Stocknield were playing them, and I went thinking Stocknield are going to do these boys here.
Like, really? You know, after the Vincent's match?
Yeah, and I'd watched Stocknield all, like, you know, for years, and I just thought it was that sort of naivety where it's like, they're tougher though, you know, they'll want it more, and then couldn't get the ball. Like, no. You know, it's all well and good being tough and being up for it, but if you can't get your hand on the ball, you can't play football, and that was the reality of it. And they absolutely destroyed them. Like, they tore them apart. They took them on a tour of Croke Park. And
Lundy was brilliant.
Yeah, he was unmarkable. And God Almighty, I hope they're still playing that. It wouldn't make sense that they're not playing that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were just so good, and it suited them so well.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt. So you have to give Castlebar a shout out as well to come back and win a county title after being humiliated by Ballyboden, who, in my opinion, no sour grapes. Like, we're very, very lucky to have beaten Portlaoise in the Leinster final, and I didn't think Ballymun, like, it's one thing Vincent's hammering Castlebar. I never saw Ballyboden hammering Castlebar, you know. They're after recovering from two All-Ireland clubs to come back and win another Mayo, and I think after Dublin, the Mayo County Championship is probably the most difficult one to win. So, you know, that's going to be a brilliant game. I really, really hope that's the game on TG4, or else I'm going to be all over Twitter Lynch and TG4 for not picking that one.
Well, yeah, this step match definitely won't be the one on TG4, but I'm quite interested in the other Connacht semi, if we can stick with Connacht for a minute. First of all, out of the Club All-Ireland played this century, six have been won by Connacht, which is a fair strike rate when you consider the size of the province, you know. Like, they've
the
got
century, some, really?
Yeah, you got Curragh Finn.
Knocknacara, Curragh Finn, Bloody Ballina, who beat us, Cross Malina.
Yep. And another one for Castlebar, wasn't it?
Another one. Oh, Castlebar didn't win it. I'll take it. I can't think of it now, but anyways.
We'll have a chat about it when we're driving from Clare to Ferns.
What road?
But the other semi-final is Aughwillan versus St. Bridget's.
And oh, yeah, St. Bridget's.
Yeah, there and St. Bridget's. There you go. They're right in front of me on a sheet of paper. We were, you know, you were talking about the discrepancy in Leinster and your column this week on Sports Joe about, you know, how there shouldn't be transfers because teams in Dublin are big enough. Bridget's against Aughwillan is, as you know, as big a mismatch as anything you're going to get in Leinster. Talking to Paddy McKenna out there, Joe.ie editor, he's saying how Aughwillan, and this is by Leitrim standards, it's a blink and you miss it kind of place. He says there's nothing there. And they've got no county players, you know, but this is their second county title in 3 years. And, you know,
there's no county players after winning two.
No starters against Roscommon.
Can't get that Leitrim team. Like,
but, you know, back in the 90s, Leitrim teams, you know, right in Connacht, they got to a few finals, you know, the glory days of Leitrim football. But they've taken some pastings in recent years. And, like, Curragh Finn and Bridget's have beaten these teams, these Leitrim champions, up quite a lot, who have happened to beat Sligo champions a lot. So it's a seriously unbalanced championship where the Leitrim champions can beat the Sligo champions and then get absolutely destroyed by the winners of Roscommon, Mayo, or Galway. And so let's just all say a little prayer for Aughwillan this weekend.
They are the holders of the greatest hashtag in GAA. It's Hon the Willies.
on the willies.
I remember I clicked on, I was like, what am I going to see here? And it was just loads of GA pictures.
If everyone in Leitrim used that hashtag, would it even trend? How many people do Leitrim have? 30,000 or something. Leitrim, the one thing I've always feel sorry about Leitrim is that when you think of a county and a weak county, you always pick Leitrim or so Wicklow or Carlow. They're the three that you usually go on, which is unfair on, well, it's, they are. But still, I just hate picking Leitrim all the time. It comes into my head. Anyways, Conan, do you have a game that you're looking at? I know you're going to say Slot Neil versus Killy Clacher.
Slot Neil v. Killy Clacher in Armagh, yeah, it's going to be a clinker, to be honest. My Derry listeners out there might not fancy me saying Killy Clacher are going to win, but I have a feeling that they will. Like, they're just very pacey. I mean, they've got Tiernan McCann and Conan McCann just sort of eating up that middle ground. It's like, it looks frightening to see them, and watched them against Coal Island twice in the final, and geez, like, they just look like a serious outfit. And they got Mark Bradley up top running absolute riot.
Where does Bradley play for them, in corner?
He's
or
lined
centre?
Out at 13, yeah, right. But he's sort of he can go wherever he wants, really. Like, he picks up ball, and he's just a hard man to work. Now, in saying that, Slock Neil have always had the right men to pick these guys up and sort them out, so that will be a really good battle. There's another guy, Simon O'Neill, is playing for Killy Clacher. It'll be just sort of interesting to see, because he's the sort of boy, like, I think Bradley scored 11 points in the county final or something like that, and you know, O'Neill sort of gets left on his own devices then, and he just picks up two or three handy scores out of nowhere. Like, but I think they're a good outfit. Listen, we can talk all day about Slock Neil. We did in the last podcast, but it's just that's definitely going to be the one I'm going to watch anyway.
Yeah, that's another really good game. There's one in Leinster that's going to be a good game, I'd imagine, is Road and Simonstown. Road is solid. Leinster campaigners at this stage, because they win Offaly
beat seven
on a regular
shades
base.
At Augusta on the last day as well.
Yeah, for the Wexford champions. But Wexford champions are shocking. You know, Niall McNamee takes a lot of watching. Then you've got Simonstown are coming off a great win. Jeez, like any club team that has, they actually don't not going to have Nash. Is he gone or is he going to be around? I'm not really sure about that. The fella's gone to Australia. I'm not too sure.
I think
sure.
He's gone. He's gone, from reading Colin O'Rourke's column at the weekend, I think he's gone.
Yeah, that's normal, because Zach has gone back as well, so he's probably gone. But Shane O'Rourke in midfield, and they've had a brilliant win, their first win. Usually when you win your first time, you're not massively concerned about Leinster. The other games aren't all that big. Sean O'Mahony's Loud champions are usually decent. Sarsfield should be able to handle them. Palatine against St Vincent's, complete mismatch. And Mullina Hochta from Longford against St Lomans. That could be close. That's in Pierce Park. Longford teams usually perform well there. Dr. Crokes against Lochmore Castellini. We obviously Clonmel Conimmersions. They did really well last year. So like, that might not be the one-sided game that you think. And Carbery Rangers from Cork take on the Nyre, who just won their county final last year. We gave out about that on last week's podcast. And of course we also have Kilcoo against Mahery. That's the other one in Ulster. So look, huge weekend of club games, and it's all football by the looks of things. There's an intermediate hurling championship final replay in Connacht between Ballyhaunis and Athascraw. Finally, Fohana.
Athascraw Fohana. Come on.
Why did I even try and attempt that?
Which road would you take?
That is a windy road.
Keith
that
Higgins plays for Ballyhaunis, doesn't he?
He does.
Apparently he's their main man as well.
Their main man, yeah. He's a dual star.
Best hurler in Mayo by all accounts.
I want to know what the spread is going to be for Palatine St Vincent's. Like, geez, what's the handicap there?
Well, I'd say 15, would it?
I don't know. They're taking them down to Netwatch Cullen Park. You know, it's a bit of a layer.
Maybe 12. Actually, I don't want to get into the transfers because I bang on about it an awful lot. But Vincent's, you know, them being bumped up by a really, really top intercounty player, I just see it. I just don't think it's right, especially when they come to play Currafin and our Castlebar Mitchells, who have no one, you know, no one new. And to be fair, Dr. Crokes have one or two bangers as well, as they used to be called years ago. So they've got outside help.
They're still called bangers in Division 8.
you're both bangers on the teams that you're playing with, coming to Dublin, taking our positions in the top.
Of a potato gun than a banger myself, to be honest.
There was a team in Derry, it was exactly like the Shawnee Johnson case. They were a really good team, but they just needed a forward to get them over the line, so they signed this guy from Tyrone, not that far away from where they were. And by the end of the season, he was on the bench for them.
It doesn't always work. Yeah. Right, lads, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much to everyone for putting the show together. We're going to be back next Wednesday with some more of the same. Good luck.
not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.